Accession with 32526, Reel 3.
Eric Russell, take 2, Reel 3. So you were just going to join the convoy
to America? Yeah, that was from up the Clyde sort of thing there, again.
Can you remember the date that you left there, roughly?
It would be roughly. I did jot it down. March 1943.
March 1943, yes.
Yeah, and we arrived in New York, it was about 2 days later. I didn't write the date there. We arrived in New York, and we had to stay in New York because the Navy had taken over 2 big hotels in a place called Asbury in New Jersey. And we were going to be based there until our ship, we didn't know this, until our ship was ready. But it was only later that we found out that the ship would be launched in Chicago. So straight away we were thinking, crikey, what sort of ship is this going to be? Because then it was like an escort sub-chaser, we used to call her, because that's what she was built for, was to deal with submarines, like, you know. And there were several of us, because the idea was to use a flotilla of sub-chasers against the group that the subs would get in. See, they or packs, they called them packs sort of thing, so it was to go against that sort of situation. And we had about close to 2 months in Asbury sort of thing, waiting there for the ship to be got ready and that. So in the meantime, we were getting leave and going into New York and around the place and quite enjoying ourselves. So
must have been quite a difference, land of plenty, from what you'd left.
Well, yeah, exactly, it was, yeah.
Did you meet any nice girls?
I did, and through their mother too. We take it, one of the hotels had this big hotel, the two hotels had a big swimming pool between the two. And the Navy, of course, took all that over for training then and swimming and that sort of stuff. And I was on duty there, sort of thing. It was me, myself, and a petty officer who used to have the general run of it, being in control of it. And this lady came along and she said, this swimming pool going to be open at all? And I said, no, it's been taken over by the British Navy. Well, she said, well, we're not allowed to use it at all. And I said, well, I'm afraid not. I'm sorry, but I said, that's the way it is. And she said, well, we come on holiday here for years and years and years. And she was a Scotch lady, Scotch. And I said, well, I'm so sorry about that. I said, but she said, well, I would have thought they would have opened it at least one day a week for people. And I said, well, I agree with you. I'll have a word. I'll have a word with my petty officer and we'll see if we can see what the officer will say, who's actually in charge of it. Oh, all right then. I said, well, if you'd like to come along the same time tomorrow, I'll see what I can come up with. So I went and saw the petty officer, had a chat with them, and he says, oh, no, nothing we can do about that, mate. And I said, well, why not? I said, it could be a good PR sort of thing to do. So he said, well, let's go and see Lieutenant, I forget his name now, the minute. But we did that and had a chat with him, and I said, don't you think it would be a good thing to do? I said, just one day a week, like a Sunday or something like that. And he said, well, I'll have to go a bit higher than that. I can't just make the decision. So they did that. But they must have talked it over and thought, well, that's a good idea too, it is, sort of thing. So that's what happened. So when she turned up, I'll explain to her what happened, what to be doing. And she said, oh, that's lovely, that'd be lovely. My girls would be so pleased to hear about that. And I said, oh, your girls? And she said, yeah, I've got 2 daughters and that. And I said, oh. And she said, do you get any leave? And I said, well, yeah, occasionally I'll get a weekend leave off and that. So she said, well, I'll bring the girls around on Sunday when it opens, when you start this nurse. And she said, introduce them to my girls, and we'll see how you get on. And I'm thinking, God, geez, what's happening here? So anyway, that's what happened, and they were two lovely girls. And they were both engaged. One was engaged to a Navy fella, and the other one was engaged to an American who was a sweetheart sort of thing, like, you know. So they got engaged, so, well. But the mother touched her and she says, you come and spend a weekend with us, and all like that. So this one I took a fancy to, who was engaged to the chap who was out in Alaska. So I thought, that's a bit rough, you know, sort of thing. But we came very fond of one another, and we had great fun together. It was all just harmless, you know, nice friendship sort of thing it was. And they had me weekends after weekends to stay there with them and that. Because it was good fun, because they took me out for a night then when they were down there and took me to a roller skating rink, and I've never roller skated in my life. And they thought they had a ball there, but pushing me from one to the other and that. They were great. They were a lovely family. So I was lucky there. I thought myself very lucky there, sort of thing. So I used to go to them. They lived in a place called, that was in New Jersey, a place called Irvington. And that made my time there. Like, it was really lovely there. Because we had to move on and go to Chicago and pick up the ship in the end.
What did you think of Chicago? Tough city?
Pretty grim in some places, but a terrific city in one way, you know, lovely really. We walked around, and myself and a mate went walking around one place there, and went into this little cafe. And I thought, I can't believe this. I thought, what is this? Funny. They all went quiet, and a couple of blokes came up and went to the cashier sort of bloke and talked to that, and then went out again. And this chap came over to us and said, come on, boys, I think you better move on. Well, what's up with me? Oh, I should just move on. So you don't pay for what you've had at all. Just move on. We went out. And that was the old mafia thing, the old payment, protection money. And we thought, crikey, we were lucky there. And we're walking along down the road, thinking, where are we going to go now? And I said, oh, just get on the trolley and go back.
You were
back.
In your British but, uniform.
Yeah. And this police car came up, pulled up, called us over and said, come on, get in. I said, what for? He said, we're just going to take you away from this area. You shouldn't be in this area. It's a pretty grim area. Mm. Because my mate said, he says, well, you want to get onto that cafe, looks like they're going to get done, sort of thing. And they said, what? So we just told them the story and that, and they whipped us around the corner, and that was it. And I thought, well, I wonder what happened there, sort of thing. Cool. Well, so it does go on, this mafia bit business. Mm-hmm. So that was a little experience I didn't want to have. But still, that's how it shows it goes on, sort of thing, yeah.
So you went to the shipyard to see your new ship?
Yeah, we eventually got there and thought, crikey, what's this ship, you know? You're going to see in this blooming thing.
Small, was it?
Yeah, it was, compared to what we'd been on. So, we did our work in what they call working up. We had to get used to the ship sort of thing. And that
had it had its sea trials? Or
No. We were involved in that. That was on the Great Lakes sort of thing. We went out and did our trials there, and then eventually when we went to sea, we paid up, did our time there, and from there we went to Halifax, and it was wonderful going through all the Great Lakes and that beautiful scenery and that marvellous sort of thing, and got eventually to Halifax. From Halifax we went down to New York so I could look up my family again, which was nice. And that was Christmas time. That was perfect.
So it was Christmas 1943.
Yeah, that was lovely. So then we went from there to Bermuda, and then we finished doing all our trials and running up with the ship and getting it, you know, into top shape. And then from there we went to Trinidad. And from Trinidad straight across to Freetown, so that's where we worked off the west coast of Africa, all up and down there, sort of thing, and spent our time, the rest of our time, dealing with stuff all through there, up and down there.
So, what sort of size was she, crew-wise?
crew wise, there was about, about four, I don't know, was it? It was less than that. It was less than that. There was about a crew of about 100, all up on that sort of thing.
And very fast engines?
Yeah, she was very fast, and we could turn in our own length sort of thing and that, and put all that sort of business. And we had a fair old amount of depth charges. We carried about 80 depth charges, and then we had what they call the throwers, either side, port and starboard, that threw out stuff there. So it was, it was pretty well armoured as far as that goes, sort of business, you know. So we did all our training up and that, and as I say, went from New York, we went to and then across to, and then when we were operating out of Freetown for the rest of the war, works virtually, right up until 1945.
And so was Freetown a bit desperate?
Yeah, it was one of the main towns of that coast sort of thing. That was British. But then we used to go into to Dhaka, which was a French town, and the Germans had been there. And then we had a nasty carry-on with going back into Freetown after we'd been out to doing our job of searching for these nasties, these Nazi submarines and U-boats. And a Liberty ship came out and rammed us. Caught us right on the stern. There's the ship, and it caught us right on the stern there, where the depth charges were. I was down in
a potentially dangerous position then.
Well, it lifted us up, but I was down below, and like, it lifted us up like that, as if we were done. That was a sensation. We got a terrible sensation. But anyway, it righted itself, and the Liberty ship took off, and I don't know what all the commotion was over there, but we were in a bad way. So we had to, it was outside of Freetown, so it wasn't too bad. Now, none of that is listed in any information, none of that was put in there. And
was the Liberty ship American?
Yeah, oh yeah, American ship, come out, typical. But they sent out for boats to come out and take most of the crew off. So they got survivors to leave. Well, we had to stay above. All the engine room crew had to stay aboard until daylight came, and then they assessed what it was, and we had pumps going to keep us, you know. And then they decided that we'd have to go up into Dhaka, be towed up into Dhaka and put into a dry dock there so as they could dry dock so they could work on it and get us right again, which we did. So we ended up staying up there for about nearly 3 months, getting it all sorted out again and fixed up until we could go back into action again.
So did you stay on the boat or did
you? Yeah, we stayed on the boat, and they got a new crew come in, sort of like, you know, the ABs and stuff like that. So, and then we just carried on again.
Did you have much contact with the U-boats? Were there a lot operating in that area?
There was, further out, but not off the coast like they expected or they did do, sort of thing. But we didn't know, but we thought that the time was coming then where they were cutting them back down like anything. All your convoys were getting through and everything like that, so they were taken care of by then.
Of course, they'd have cracked Enigma code by then, hadn't they?
Yeah, they got all that sorted out, so they really dealt with them, like, you know. And it was just a case of us just carrying on and escorting and doing what we could. And, actually, it wasn't an awful lot of action in the end, in the last few months of 1945, not a lot of action. And, of course, V-Day took place while we were still there, sort of thing. And then we...
So what did you think about? Did you have a good party?
Oh, did we have a big party? It went mad, sort
Tell
of
me
thing.
About it.
Oh, wow.
How did you,
hear it? I'm certain about it, because I can't remember one stage of about 24 hours. We were actually in Dhaka when and the skipper decided to have a real good celebration.
He told us it was all over.
Yeah. That was virtually at about 1 o'clock in the morning. They got the information sort of through, because I was on duty. chap I had on duty with me, he was a Scotsman, mad as anything. And when he heard, he went straight up and got the ship's bell, was going boom, 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 but they were all laughing and carrying on, so it was great. So then the next day, the skipper decided to celebrate because the flotilla, we worked in flotillas of about five of us, see, and we were tied up at the wharf, and they tied to one another then like that. So they had a great big do, and then they decided to go ashore and have a do. And I didn't even know about them going ashore, because what they did, I was the youngest sort of senior rating then, and they used to say, right, the skipper said, you become captain for the day. And I thought, well, what do you mean that? And then he said, no, it was just a fun thing. He said, but, you know, I want to enjoy it and everything like that. And took his cap and put it on my head, and he said, you're responsible for the ship for the rest of the day. And so the drinks was flowing nicely, and then I must have passed out because I woke up and be bunking off, because they were Yankee ships, there's no hammocks. There was, I woke up in my bunk and looked around and thought, crikey, whoa, and got up. And it was afternoon, I thought, oh, geez, and it was deserted. I was on my own, and I thought, what's that, stay up on deck? And I'm looking around, and I thought, oh, God, yeah, I could hear some voices next to it. And I went down, and they were sitting there, sort of, like that. I said, what's that? And everyone's gone. He said, that's it. He said, they've all gone ashore, like that. And I said, well, I might as well go back to bed now. I'm going to go back to bed now, that passed out again, because I wouldn't fit, that was for sure. And because they all started wandering about in the early hours of the morning and saying, hey, you're going on. And I said, get out of it, would you? Body to take me ashore with me. We in fact the carrier is. So that's how I saw, or didn't see, the day through. So that's, and then because we went back to normal duties then, and eventually came back we didn't go into Plymouth, we went up straight up when we got back, we went straight up the channel into Sheerness, and then up the river, and into Medway, and then into one of the islands, and that's where they were all stacked. All of them come back were stacked there, and we all paid off the ship, and they were kept there until they decided what to do with them, because they were lease then sort of thing there, so ships.
So there wasn't any talk of you going on off to the Pacific for...
No, then we got leave. I was down in Plymouth, because we all come from different ports. And I was down in Plymouth, only just got not long in Plymouth, when VJ took place. So that was it. So I thought, well, this is good, I'm down here already, all I've got to do is wait to get demobbed. And that's it. And after about 2 weeks down there, I was called into the drafting office. And the chief said to me, he said, I'm sorry. He said, we've got to send you out to a ship. And I said, well, what for? He said, because he said, they've demobbed them so quick so that they haven't got any reserves sort of thing. And I said, yeah, but I was right in from there. He says, I know. He said, in about a month you're due for demob, but you won't get demobbed. He said, because we're desperate to lean hands and things like that.
And you're single.
We'll have to wait till some more come back and then sort you out. So I said, all right. And I said, well, how long will I be on this ship? And he said, oh, 2 or 3 months probably. Well, it was longer than that. And I said, well, what's the ship? He said, HMS Grecian. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, it's a minesweeper. And I said, a minesweeper? I said, it's been 5 years, I don't want to go on a minesweeper. He said, that's it. He said, that's it. He said, yeah, it'll be all right. Oh, we'll cry. Get through a war and I'm finishing up on a minesweeper. So I ended up having about 5 months on that. But it came round eventually, and I got...
So was the minesweeper sort of up the channel, or...?
We did around the British ports first, and then went across to the continent and did all the ports there.
So
the minefields, because there's loads of minefields all around.
Yes.
Clearing them up.
So you're clearing out marked minefields.
Yes, so that shipping could get in, you see. Denmark was one lot what we did, and that was great, because I went home on leave one weekend, Then my father was as proud as he said, look at this, he said, look at this, and gave me this card, and it was a card from the King of Denmark. They'd sent us these parcels of stuff in gratitude for us clearing all the mines, and I thought, oh, that's fine.
Was that a dangerous operation?
Oh, it could be dangerous, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did they actually do it?
Well, you've got these cutters that go off the stern of the minesweepers, and your mines are attached to these big wires, you see, they're attached to anchor them, and they can tack them so they're at different depths. Well, your cutters come along, go up these lines and cut them so that the mines float up to the top. And then you've got the trawler pack that come behind us. They do the nasty jobs of sinking them like that sort of thing. Like that.
So did they disarm them, or did they fire at them to shoot them?
Yeah, disarm them. I think they disarm them and flood them so they sink, sort of business like that. But we had a... Now, this was funny because it was being... I didn't know anything about it, but it was being broadcast by the BBC, this bit of action. And my brother heard it. And evidently, it was the one that we... It was nasty to... Where it caught, it didn't cut it, and it caught there instead of getting bitten, cutting, because it would blew up the cutter light, blew up the, and that was very nasty. That was didn't like that, but it looked and sounded worse and worse, because the chap doing the commentary sort of thing, oh, there's a mine gone, and looks like it's HMS Grecian. Well, my brother heard that, and he knew what ship I was on. He said, oh, dear, but he said, it's all right. It doesn't go like that. And I thought, well, they'd never heard him back like that, but it was nasty. Well, because I was down in the engine room, and she just did, and all the lights go out, and I thought, what's that? Don't tell me the stern's got blown off. But it wasn't. It was just the cutter being blown off like something. That was a nasty episode. But it wasn't long after that I went back off leave. I'd had a short leave and went back off leave, and he said, oh, you've got your demob, mate. Did you get it again and get back down to Plymouth?
So
I couldn't get down quick enough.
So what date was that?
That was, where was it? It was about 1946, and it was May. Yeah, beginning of May. And
and you had the thought to stay in full time?
I was asked to seriously think about it, because they said, you'll get through your petty officer stuff, you see, and he said, you another 5 years, you'll get your 12 years in, then you can make your mind up then, and you get a pension. That was the thing, you got a pension then. But if your time you've done 12, you think, well, I might as well do the other bit, and 10, and you're only in your 40s then, you're getting a full pension then, good pension too, and by then you'd be a chief. So I was really... But by then I'd met my wife, I met Edith, so that sort of thing. I thought, that's no life. This is no life for being married.
And had you met Edith when you were back on leave one time?
Yeah. I've only been out of the Navy about 4 weeks when I met Edith. That was through my brother. Took me to she worked for a telephone company. She was a clerk, and she worked in this telephone called the telephone company, which my brother was involved with, you know, and they had this little social club, and they just started this cycle polo. And it used to be quite exciting, but you can imagine cycling, and they hooked the bloke's trousers and then pulled him off. It was really fun stuff, but he took me along to that, and because Edith was there, she was with the office, and that's how we met. That was it.
So that had swayed your decision about not staying in?
Oh, yeah. I thought, that's it, sort of thing. She'd been in the ATS. Mm. Yeah, she'd been in the ATS. So that was it. That started me looking to civilian life really good then. I thought, I've got to be a civilian.
So what did you think you would be doing? Didn't go back to the pewter works?
No. I was determined not to go working in London again. Oh, gosh, it's shocking. London's terrible, isn't it? And I thought I tried several jobs, and then I eventually got into an engineering firm sort of thing, got to do work myself up in that.
And did
well.
You settle back into civilian life
Yeah, I joined a Royal Navy Association sort of thing, so met up with a lot of good crews. Yeah, it was great. I settled down quite well, actually.
Didn't miss the Navy?
For a while you did. It was amazing how you do, because you've got that routine you get into, and it's a, you know, it's not a routine you can live by sort of thing in the normal, especially when you've got family and that sort of thing. So,
do you keep in touch with other people from the Navy nowadays? For a long time
I did for quite a while. Yeah, I enjoyed the association. It was good. I quite nice. Liked it. And then we had two children. We had a girl and a boy, sort of thing. So life was good.
Good.
And then I had a tragedy, and my poor Edith, became very ill, and she had a cancer. Cancerous appendix. So
it
wasn't very nice. It was grim. And Linda was about, a nasty age for something like that too. She was about 13, and Keith was 8. So it was nasty business. And this is how it all. And then the same year I lost my mother. So it was a bit of a tragic year, and I sort of got down and thought, what do I do? And that was in 1962, and I thought, oh dear. And I just couldn't settle down. I thought, because Australia were advertising for school people and all that sort of business. So I thought, I'll go up and I'll see what they say. And there's some good jobs going. I thought, might be a good way to go.
Make a fresh start.
So that weekend, all this had happened over the weekend. About that weekend, I spoke to the two children and said, this is what I'm thinking of doing. It's only a thought, but what do you think you would like about it? And I said, first of all, you're going away from the rest of the family, your aunts and uncles, your cousins, you know, granddads and things like that. And I want you to think about this. Either of you feel a little bit, rather not, tell me, and that'll be it. We'll finish it. That'll be the end of it. And they did that. And we had another chat against it. And if that's what you want to do, do it. They did. Which I was quite surprised, quite expected one or other of them. So, or rather not. So I said, okay, forget it. But I could do, afterwards, once we got back then, settled down and that, there were quite a few times when I thought, how the heck did I come with that decision? How did I come and make that decision? You know, sort of. But you go. It's all worked out for the best, because the two of them are done fantastic.
Good. Eh?
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you ever so much for telling me all about it. Is there anything else that sprung to mind as we've been talking that you didn't mention?
Not really, probably is.
Would you have done it all again?
I don't know that I could have done all of it again. Mm. I mean, although in hindsight I think, I shouldn't have done what I did do, you know, go out with just the two kids and that sort of thing.
But your wartime service, you've got no regrets?
No, not about that.
An experience?
I'm a very fortunate man. I mean, to get through it, I consider myself very fortunate, sort of thing, you know.
Thank you very much indeed.
That's all right then.